Hey y'all, it's Stephanie from Root to Seed, and today I'd like to talk to you about square foot gardening. For those of you who are working with a small space, this type of gardening can produce quite a yield in just a 4 foot by 4 foot space. But first, I just want to share some of our news. Since last episode, we've done a lot of planning for the 2021 growing season, including what we're planting, where, although I still haven't completed my garden plan, kind of where we're going to be planting those things, how much of it we're going to be planting, and what products we'll have for sale this year. There are going to be some exciting things that will come up that'll be good for your belly and your body. Our chicks were delayed for the third time, but with extreme patience, we're hoping to pick them up early this week. I also sat with Cindy Holt at the Little Rhodey Beekeeping for a lovely chat. I'll be releasing that soon for all of you to hear, and I do hope we answered all of your beekeeping questions. I'll be right back in just a few seconds to talk about square foot gardening. It was Mel Bartholomew who first came up with the method in his 1981 book called Square Foot Gardening. Mel thought that this intensive gardening method for residential areas. Of course, now, as I'm sure you can find hundreds of books on the subject, but they all lead back to Mel's ideas. Aside from just taking up a small amount of space, square foot gardening uses far less water, really only about 10% of what you'd use in another garden type. It's also all organic, no need for fertilizers or pesticides, and it also requires less thinning and less seeds to get things started. Square foot gardening simply allows vegetables and flowers to be planted very close together in raised beds that can be anywhere from 2 feet by 4 feet to 4 feet by 12 feet. But the most common configuration is usually that 4 by 4 space. If you listened to my previous podcast, you'll know that raised beds require a soil combination that includes sandy loam, peat moss, and a trusted weed-free compost. Of course, if you don't want to mix your own, just buy some good quality bags at the garden store. After building your bed and fitting it with weed fabric, it needs to be filled with at least 6 inches of soil, 12 inches if you intend on growing root crops like carrots or potatoes. Height designs can differ though. If you'd like a taller bed, a false bottom at about 10 inches can be built into it, so you need not fill the whole bed with soil. These types of high beds, as I call them, are wonderful for sparing the gardener's back and can allow our elders to enjoy fresh harvested vegetables much longer than they might have been able to with a more physically demanding method. They may also create a space of wonder for younger people who might just be getting started in gardening but have limited space. It's a great way for anyone to enjoy the good health that comes from eating fresh produce grown in your own backyard. So after building a 4x4 bed, you'll have 16 squares to work with. A grid should be created that allows you to see all 16 squares. Any material can be used as long as it'll last the season. I've seen people use sticks, strips of thick cardboard, old Venetian blinds. I personally use string secured with fabric pins in the soil. This grid helps to keep the bed neat and organized. If you remove the grid, it's tough to create that same amount of organization. A little bit about plant spacing. So depending on what you're trying to grow, it's either going to be 1, 4, 9, or 16 equally spaced plants that can fit into each square. So for example, if the seed packet recommends plant spacing to be 12 inches, then that's one plant per square. If it's 6 inches apart, that's 4 plants per square, and if it's 4 inches, that's 9 plants per square, and if it says 2 inches spacing, then that means that there's room for 16 plants in the squares. You might think that's crazy. How could you possibly fit 16 plants in a square? But some examples of what you can fit into each of the square foot include, if you're looking at 9, you could fit 9 onions, beets, bush beans, bush peas, garlic, or spinach. You could fit 16 carrots or radishes, 4 heads of lettuce, kale, or chard, 1 tomato plant, 1 pepper plant, 1 eggplant, broccoli, cabbage, or corn, and then 1 squash or melon. Those usually take up 2 squares. So if you're doing something that's a large type of melon, you're going to want to give them 2 squares of space. Using trellises, you could fit 6 vining plants, such as beans or peas. We'll talk about vertical growing in a little later. Depending on the size of your family, you can potentially grow everything you need in just a 4x4 space. This size bed will grow more than a conventional garden that is 10 by 10 feet. We'll be back in a few seconds to talk about pests, weeds, plant cages, and growing vertically. Keeping pests under control requires constant vigilance all season long. Synthetic pesticides are expensive, and there is a concern about their long-range harmful effects. Better than using poisons, and much safer, easier, and cheaper, is to try some simple pest control methods. These work well because your garden is so small. As you work, you're close to each plant. While you're close to them, notice if you see holes chewed in the leaves, and look for that chewer. Your eyes and your hands can be your tools. You can put netting over the area if you find that you have a problem, or you can plant onions, dill, or marigolds in the bed or in pots near the bed, as these plants repel insects. The secret to a weed-free garden is keeping up with the weeding, and a square foot garden gives you a small area to take care of. Another factor that discourages weeds in a square foot garden is the closeness of the plants, which gradually creates a living mulch. As the plants grow, their leaves provide shade on the ground until the planted vegetables cover the entire area. Then, very few weed seeds will sprout, and those that do will be weak and spindly and easy to pull out of the loose, crumbly soil. Your fingers are the only tools you'll need. You may find that plant protection cages might be helpful. Basically, they're three-sided wire mesh cages that are made from common fencing wire to be placed over a particular garden square. There are 4 different types of protective cages, each with its own use. So you can make a cage with a clear plastic cover for protection from things like frost, heavy rain, or hail. One could be covered with a fine screen to keep out birds, small animals, and harmful insects. A third type is covered with a shade material to protect young plants and summer-grown lettuce from the hot sun. And the fourth type is an uncovered frame with large openings, which can be used to support plants without staking. Now, if you want to increase your space even further, you may choose to use vertical gardening. The reasons for vertical gardening are many and varied. They include the use of much less garden space, increased yields, improved harvests, easier soil preparation, simplified watering methods, better plant health, and less damage to the stem when harvesting. In addition, a vertical garden is extremely attractive and enhances the appearance of any yard or home. Just about any vegetable or flower that produces a vine or rambling stem can be grown vertically. Cucumbers, pole beans, peas, melons, summer squash, and many flowers. Most of these plants will climb by themselves, grasping the support with their twisting tendrils. Others need to be attached by strings. I'll be back in just a few seconds with my final thoughts. I do hope you've learned some information you can use to become a square foot gardener should you choose. This information, along with some photo examples, can be found in the community blog for those of us who are more visual learners. The growing season is upon us now, so do be sure to get your seeds at www.roottoseedonline.com while they last. Be on the lookout for our new spring products. Sign up for emails. We don't send a ton, really just emails to alert you of what's going on, but you'll be the first to get that new information. Follow us on the socials, and if you're liking the podcast, please take a second to subscribe and leave a review. It really does help us bring you great content. Until next time, be kind to the planet, be kind to each other, and join our community.